God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Pretty much every morning that I am home here on the Bill Rice Ranch, I drive about a half mile up to the actual campground, park my car in a little parking lot, and see a couple friends. Those friends are deer. They're deer friends. They're actually deer. And they occupy the meadow and even the little parking lot where I park to start my day. Oftentimes when you're observing deer, you'll see them with their nose up in the wind. Sometimes you observe them observing you. Maybe they haven't yet seen you, but they smell you. I don't know what that says about you, but I think it says something more about the deer and his power of perception. My dog does the same thing. Something that should be an easy task, just running out in the backyard and running back, becomes, you know, a 15-minute adventure. My dog is sniffing everything, and only, I suppose, the Lord knows all the pictures that come to mind, the 3D imaging that comes to their mind just by the olfactory scent, the sense of smell. Horses here on the ranch, oftentimes you'll see them with their nose up testing the wind. You know, people do the same thing. I don't mean they go around smelling everything. I think we're pretty oblivious to what we smell, most people. I do think, however, that people test the wind. They want to know who's on the ascendancy, who's on the descendancy, who's going to be powerful, who's going to be helpful. And it's interesting to watch this play out. Sometimes when someone arrives at some kind of organization, they think that one person's in charge or has power. And then you can see their attitude change as they become convinced that someone else is where the real power is. In Washington right now, since the election, it has been amazing to see the quick reaction of both friend and foe to the president-elect. There are people who are testing the wind. I'm currently reading about Napoleon, and last night I read about Napoleon's failed campaign on Moscow, and that's become a military maxim. Don't attack Moscow unless you know you can wrap it up by winter. People had failed before Napoleon. Famously, the Nazis failed after Napoleon, and it was sheer agony that Napoleon went into Russia, got thousands of miles into the interior, and then realized that they were going to be defeated by the winter. If you read the account of their retreat from Moscow, you find that morale dipped and people actually begin to question Napoleon, a man who had never made mistakes, a man who was always a winner, a man who had always conquered everything before him. And now soldiers were basically thinking, hey, every man for themselves, everyone try to get back to Paris before you freeze or starve. And some actually disregarded the command of Napoleon. They went from long live the emperor to I don't care what he says. So what I'm saying is that when you test the wind, that is a dangerous supposition. Why? I would say don't test the wind. Why? Well, before we give the answer, let's just consider Jeremiah chapter 39. You find almost equally what happened after the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem. You find what happened to the king. His name was Zedekiah. You find what happened to Jeremiah. That was a prophet. And you find what happened to a nearly nameless man that is called Ebed. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but Ebed-Melech, which is actually a name just meaning servant of the king. So I'm not even sure it's a proper name. Maybe you know, but I don't know. So you find what happened to these three men when everything changed. Now, a lot of people in Jerusalem had been testing the wind. They thought, well, maybe we should go towards Egypt because they'll help us. Then they thought, well, maybe we should imprison Jeremiah because he's saying things we don't like to hear. Then there were those who thought we want to kill the man who's left in charge after Zedekiah is taken into captivity. In short, they were constantly changing their conviction to match the zeitgeist, the governing opinion of the day. So what happened to these people? Well, when it comes to the king, the Bible says in Jeremiah 39:1, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. The city was broken up. The king was bound with chains and carried to Babylon. Babylon carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people. The Bible later says they left the poor and gave them vineyards. But here's the king, Zedekiah. He had heard the truth, but he'd walked by sight. He thought that what he saw was more reliable than what God said. And ironically, the last thing the king saw before his eyes were gouged out by the conquering Babylonians was his heirs, his sons, murdered. So here's a king that walked by sight and then lost it. What of Jeremiah? Well, verse 12 tells us what happened to Jeremiah, at least at this point. The king told his men, take him, Jeremiah, and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. In other words, whatever he says, do it. Well, had Zedekiah, the king of Jerusalem, had he said that? No, he'd ignored. So here's Jeremiah, ignored and now heard. The tables have turned. What about Ebed? Who was Ebed? Well, in chapter 38, we find that he was a man who probably at some personal risk went to the king and said, hey, it's not right that Jeremiah is in prison. We shouldn't do this. And he was just a servant of the king. But he had the audacity, the courage to say what he thought to be true, even when it wasn't safe to do so. And I would say about him, the outsider, the Ethiopian, the servant, the outsider became the ultimate insider. Indeed, verse 18 says, God says to him, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee. So regardless of the fact that the Babylonians are now in control and the tables have turned, I'm going to take care of you because, here's the cause, thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. So when Zedekiah was in charge, he trusted the Lord. When Nebuchadnezzar became the man in charge, he trusted the Lord. He was not testing the wind. So you find what happened to the king, to Jeremiah, and to Ebed. You find what happened to the king, the prophet, and the servant. All of them realized that nothing was static except for the God of Israel. And so I would just say this morning, look, don't test the wind. In the first place, your lot will change. For good or for bad, nothing is fixed. Nothing is constant. Look, haven't you noticed people who retire? They've been in some position of great power, whether in the church or in business or socially. And then they retire and then you find how they're regarded. You see how they're treated. Now, sometimes they're honored and that is as things should be. But I've seen people of great power of whatever kind, and then they retire and the next guy comes on and it's almost as if the one who was in a position of power for 30 or 40 years, you know, like he's chopped liver, like she means nothing anymore, like they no longer exist. I think it's very naive to see yourself fixed as to your position and your power. In some cases, your power will wane. In some cases, your power will wax and become greater and then lessen again. So, you know, when I was 20, I thought, okay, I'm a son. And then when I was 22, I'm a husband. And then I thought I was really getting old. Now I'm a father. And so you see yourself in these fixed positions. And now I'm a grandfather. I'm a father-in-law. You know, I become the people that I thought were, you know, in some position of power. So what I'm saying is if what goes around comes around, the way you treat your in-laws, that's the way you're going to be treated by your in-laws. The way you treat your parents, that's the way you're going to be treated as a parent. The way you regard your grandparents, there will come a time when you may be in that spot. So your lot will change. So don't merely test the wind. See what God says and live accordingly. You know, even if you think about Jeremiah, many prophets have been martyred. That still does not diminish the ultimate truth of an ultimate unchanging being, and that is God. If there is a God, he's unchanging, and there is a God, and so he is unchanging. Your lot will change. Don't test the wind because your view is limited. What did King Zedekiah see? Not what he thought he saw. He saw the Babylonians beyond the wall, but he didn't see the future, even though Jeremiah had given him the truth over and again. It's interesting in chapter 40, when Nebuchadnezzar took control, one of his men said to Jeremiah, now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said. He says, God is judging his people in Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 3. Well, that was easy for him to say because he was speaking of history, things he'd already seen. Jeremiah had said the same things before they had happened, and he said these things before they happened because God had given them to him. The only way to be prescient, to have any inkling of the future, is to know what has not changed, and that is God and what he has said in his word. So your lot will change, your view is limited, and this is most important, your God is unchanging. Where does a stable, consistent life come from? It comes from not testing the wind and seeing who's in power and seeing who's liked. It comes from knowing what God has said and following his word with conviction that God will win. An evangelist named Bob Jones said probably 100 years ago or close to it, you and God make a majority. That's actually a sentiment that has been given centuries before he said it, but he's exactly right. You and God make the majority. Why? Because everything else you see will crumble. Everyone else you know will die, and every power you can conceive of will diminish in time, but not that of God. Don't test the wind. The lot of the king, of the prophet, and the servant all changed, and yours may as well, but God's never will.